Good evening. Welcome to Digging Deeper here on the third Saturday evening in March. And family and friends, tonight we come to the third message in our series entitled The Road to the Hill. And in this series of messages, we're examining the reason and the meaning of Jesus, the cross, and Easter. So allow me to ask you tonight, have you ever given much thought to the question, what does love sound like? Friend, how would you describe it? What does love sound like to you? That's why we're talking about Jesus, because he is the sweetest sound of love I know. Let's do a look back here tonight before we move forward. Our first message in this series was entitled, Why Easter? And the answer to that question, family and friends, is very simple, because we've all fallen short of God's eternal glory. Every one of us has experienced in some manner the ruin of sin and rebellion against God in our lives. We're all guilty of sinning against Almighty God, and Jesus came to restore us. That's the answer to why Easter. Our second message was entitled, Three Along the Road, and we heard and saw examples from God's holy word of how Jesus does three specific things for us. Jesus frees us from our past, Jesus gives us hope in our present, and Jesus cares deeply about our future. Now with that in mind, I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of John tonight, the 19th chapter, beginning in verse 19. And we read these words, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge of vinegar, and put upon it hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Will you bow your heads with me in prayer tonight? Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the mercy and the grace that you loved us so much that you not only gave us a Savior, but you gave us a word that we could live our lives by. A word that we can look into, that speaks to our hearts, that speaks truth to us. Lord, all around this world today, we have so many people, so much white noise, all claiming to know the truth. But there is only one absolute truth, and that is the truth that is found in the Bible. Lord, tonight I pray that Bible truth would speak to the lost sinner and bring him to salvation in Christ. I pray that Bible truth would speak to that wandering Christian, that they'll get back on the right path with you. I pray that your word of truth would speak to the self-righteous person who thinks he's all right with God and doesn't have a clue that he's not right with God. I pray for the prideful man who says he doesn't need you tonight, that tonight he would see his need for a Savior. Oh, Lord, would you speak tonight? Speak to hearts and minds. Let those who need to be confirmed be confirmed. Let those who need to be convicted be convicted. Oh, Father, would you comfort the afflicted, and would you afflict the comfortable? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight, as you can tell, we're going directly to the hill called Calvary, because it is there that we discover the answer to our question, what does love sound like? Family and friends, how many of you would have described love as the sound of nails being driven through flesh into wood? Because our text informed us that Jesus has walked the road to the hill. He has been through several mock trials, and he has been found guilty of telling the truth. So he's sentenced to die, and he's nailed to a cross. As he hung there, he's watched the fulfillment of Holy Scripture, because the soldiers gambled for his only possession, a few articles of clothing. He has one friend there whom he loves, and he asks him to take care of his mama. He gets one last drink for his human thirst. Then he speaks his last word and dies. Jesus' heart beats for one last moment of time, and then it stops. But it is those last words he shouts from the hill that we want to concentrate and set our minds on tonight. What he says with his dying breath is very significant. What does love sound like? Maybe it sounds like the last word Jesus spoke before he died on the cross. Jesus says, "It is finished." In the Greek, this is only one word, tetelestai. Say it with me, tetelestai. What does tetelestai mean? Obviously, it means it is finished. It means to accomplish or complete something. It means more than just ending something. It's in the third person, perfect passive tense. Hence, the first person present is teleo, I am finishing. It means that whatever it has been completed, made perfect by something other than itself, which would be passive. It means that whatever it is done completely with nothing left to be done by the one who's acted upon it. It means that Jesus Christ has once and for all finished something completely for all time. He has purchased our salvation. What did Jesus finish? What is the it Jesus means here? What are the things Jesus completed as he died? Well, we're going to look back through the Holy Bible tonight and see if we can find out. Now, Jesus tells us several times in his Gospels, friends, why he came to this earth. And when we understand why he came, we'll find out what Jesus finished on the cross. What did Jesus tell us were his reasons for coming? Well, right off the bat, we discover that Jesus came to fulfill the law. He said, Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." This is a verse from the very first part of his Sermon on the Mount. Now, the law and the prophets summed up everything that Jesus had said through the Old Testament. Jesus did not come to get rid of the Old Testament, as many think today. No, he didn't come to get rid of it, friend. He came to do it all, to fulfill it all, and to complete it all, and he did. He lived his entire life on this earth absolutely sinless, absolutely perfect, absolutely blameless. Neither you nor I can claim that we've lived life that way, for we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're far from perfect, and I'm certain there's somebody somewhere who can blame us for something. Jesus had to live a perfect life so that he could come and to call sinners in every generation unto him. In Matthew chapter 9, we find Jesus is at a party. He's with tax collectors, and the Bible tells us sinners. Now, these are some of his disciple Matthew's friends. And once again, we find them religious hypocrites, those religious people who didn't think very highly of the company Jesus chose to keep. And so Jesus addressed that matter with them, and he said, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to call people to repent. Did you know that Luke wrote about this in his gospel account? In Luke chapter 5, he records the same exact party and the same exact religious people standing around looking down their noses at the crowd Jesus was with. And Luke records what Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So clearly the Bible teaches that Jesus came to call all sinners to turn from the path away from him and start on the path toward him. But Jesus did not come only to call sinners to repent. He came also to do his Father's will. John records for us in John 6:38 the words of Jesus, who said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." And in this chapter, Jesus tells the crowd, he says, "I am the bread of life, and that whosoever comes to me will never be hungry or thirsty again." He came to do his Father's will. He came to give eternal life to those who will repent of their sins and place their faith and their trust in him. But friend, he also came for judgment. John records in the 9th chapter of his gospel that Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which might not see and they which might see might be made blind." Jesus had cured a man who had been blind all of his life. Oh, friend, when he did that, did he set off a firestorm that made those religious people stark raving mad. People on the outskirts of religion were beginning to say, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. And the judgment Jesus is speaking of here is judging those who believe him and those who do not. His coming into the world and his doing what he did while he was upon this earth divided people. Some were with him. Many were against him. And that same thing is still taking place tonight. Every time and everywhere the gospel is preached, people choose to either draw near to the Savior or they choose to turn away from the Savior. This is the judgment that is taking place even as I speak tonight, don't you see? Jesus knows those who are his and those who only pretend to be his. He knows those who are drawing near and he knows those who are drawing away. Friend, can I ask you tonight, are you an inclining believer? You're drawing near to Jesus Christ. You're an inclining sinner. You're coming because you want to be saved by Jesus Christ. Or are you a declining away from him? Are you turning away saying, I don't need Jesus? How near are you to Jesus Christ tonight? Jesus came so that people could have a full and an abundant life. John records for us in the 10th chapter of his gospel that Jesus used a shepherd story to illustrate who he is. He said, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through him is saved, free to find good pasture and live a full life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus came to bring light into darkness. He said, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in a darkness. Jesus said, he says, whoever believes in him, they will see the one who sent him. Jesus came, friend, to bring light into the darkness people are living in today without him. These were the things Jesus said he came to accomplish while he was here upon this earth. And bow back in John 19 and 30, what were Jesus' last words? It is finished. These words of Jesus are spoken to let us be certain in our minds and in our hearts that Jesus had finished what he came to do. Oh, friend, Jesus went to that cross to die for you and me so that you and I could be saved by his precious blood. All those countless drops of blood were given to wash away our sin and to set us free. What can we take away from all of this? I think first I'd hope you allow me to encourage you to meditate on these areas Jesus has finished. And really consider how they would apply to your life right now, wherever you are, tonight. How would what you've heard so far apply to you? What are you going to do with what you've heard? Jesus has taken care of our sin problem with God. Every one of us has a sin problem, and Jesus paid it all. Jesus has taken care of that issue. He has fulfilled the law because Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. Unlike you and I and every man or woman who's ever come before us or will come after us, Jesus obeyed and fulfilled everything that God has ever said. This made him the perfect, sinless sacrifice to pay for our imperfect, sinful lives. Jesus has shown us the way to a real relationship with Almighty God. We've not been brought into this world or left alone because we have the Word of God, we have the preaching of the gospel, and because we have these things, we now know how to come into a real relationship with God. Jesus brought light to guide us to God. And tonight, wherever you are, Jesus is calling you to himself. I don't get the idea, like some people do, that I'm too bad, I've sinned too much, Jesus could never forgive me for my sin. Don't get the idea that you must clean things up before you can come to Jesus. Don't get the idea that there's too many hypocrites in church so you can't be there. I'll just tell you, come on down, friend. There's always room for one more. Don't get the idea that you've so far gone that Jesus can't possibly help you. Don't get the idea, like I've heard some say, well, if I come to church, walls fall down. I'd like to see that. You come on. Don't get the idea, because Jesus knows all about you, friend. He knows where you're at tonight and the reason why you are where you are. But I want you to know tonight, because you're within earshot of my voice, that Jesus has come for you. There's a reason why you've hung on throughout this program tonight, throughout this message tonight, because Jesus is speaking to you. Jesus is calling to you. Jesus has come for you. He came to rescue a sinner just like you. He came to help you, and he came to enable you to turn away from your sin and to turn your life over to him. Jesus wants you to live with him forever in heaven. Jesus cannot bear the thought of an eternity without you. That's how much he loves you. That's why he came to do the Father's will. And because God the Father loves you so much, he sacrificed his one and only Son in order to rescue and save you. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Both the Father and the Son want you in heaven with them for all eternity. Brings me to the last point tonight. What's left to finish? Your choice. What's your choice? Jesus has done everything he can to save you. What's your choice? Will it be to enter heaven through the gate that Jesus has provided through his cross? Are you willing to repent and be saved tonight? Do you desire the abundant and full life Jesus promises? Friend, have you really given thought about eternity? Have you really taken stock of where you are in life? Do you know how long your life is going to last? Do you know if you're going to have another tomorrow, another week, another year? You don't know how long you're going to be here. Listen to me, friend. One day you're going to die. That's a fact. One day, should the Lord tarry, you and I are going to leave this earth. What then? Are you going to trust your own way over God's way? Are you going to draw near to God, or are you going to run away from God? And I'm going to tell you, you'd be a fool if you did. Why spend eternity in hell when you can spend eternity in heaven with God? As we bring this message to a close tonight, God is offering you a free pardon, friend. Tonight you can have all your sins washed away. Tonight your burden of sin can be lifted. Tonight you can be saved. Will you accept it? Wherever you are tonight, will you repent and ask Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? You say, well, what do I got to do, preacher, to be saved from my sin? I don't know how to go about it. Well, thank goodness you're listening to this program tonight, because, friend, I want to share with you how you can be saved. You just need to pray this prayer, and you need to pray it sincerely from your heart. You need to repent of your sin. You need to turn away from it and turn to Jesus Christ. You need to pray, Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord. Please forgive me of my sins. And, oh Lord, give me the gift of eternal life that has been promised through Jesus Christ, your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friend, if you prayed tonight, oh Lord, forgive me, and you did it sincerely from your heart, you have repented, you have turned away, you've now turned to Jesus, I want to assure you tonight, through that prayer of repentance, you have been saved. Please call or write to us at the address and number on the screen, like others have already. Let us know of your decision so we can get materials into your hands to strengthen you in your walk with God. And now as we close, may the grace and the mercy and of Almighty God, may it shine upon you both now and forever. And friend, I just want to pray for you tonight. Lord, for all of those who have prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior tonight, for all of those who have drawn near unto you, O Lord, tonight, Father, we just lift them before you. We ask for the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do in them. And, oh Lord, we're trusting you in this. In your name we pray. Amen and amen.